swimming in these king size sheets. Can't beat the feel of your touch, girl. Make my heart rush every time you put your hands on me. Like a California coastline, slipping off your clothes. I've never seen another side quite like you. No, you can't beat the view.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single Can't Beat the View by Chris Buck. This is his first single as a solo artist. I am so excited about this new music that he's got out right now and all the new ventures he's got going on, especially living in Nashville and being on Music Row there. Here to talk about his brand new single and video is Canadian country artist Chris Buck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so excited for you, my friend. As I was saying to you earlier before we went on the air, your new music is killer.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a while, but I'm excited to get some new music out.
We cannot wait. If this is any example of what we're going to be dealing with the rest of this year, boy, yeah, you're striking it out of the park on this one.
Thank you. Yeah, the funny thing about the song I put out, it wasn't even supposed to be written that day. We actually had some cancellations, and I ended up meeting up with my best friends down here. We were just hanging out, and we're like, well, we might as well write it. The artist we were supposed to write with canceled, and we just ended up writing that song. Just kind of happened, so it's pretty cool.
It's amazing how things just kind of work themselves out, right? And that surprise is just like so amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we all kind of when they realized I was releasing it as the first single out of the gate here, they were like, man, that wasn't even supposed to happen. I'm like, I know, that's so funny.
That's awesome. Well, you got so much going on. This song, you know, we're going to talk about in a little bit, because that's a big part of change for you too. And you know, the last 2 years, you know, there's been so much going on. This is your first solo gig, and you know what, this is amazing. And the signing, you know, you've had so much happening with the new label and everything, so talk about that.
I signed a label deal with Sakamoto Music, which is
top of their game, boy. What a team to have on board.
Yeah, they've been a part of my family for many years. I've had them as an agent, and it just felt like the right thing to do. And like they're family to me there. And then they linked the distribution deal with Warner Music Canada. And once they got that, I'm like, this is a no-brainer. Let's get this deal signed and start putting some music out. And it just kind of all happened naturally, and it's just nice to have all the people that I've worked with for years be a part of this next adventure.
When you've got a team that believes in you, and they are so good at supporting their artists, and you know, that you can't say enough about that team, boy, they work hard. And when you've got a good team working with you, you don't want to mess with that.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's just so nice that I all know them so well, not only on a business level, but a personal level. And I just feel so grateful to be a part of this team, and grateful that they believed in me in order to like start something new on their end as well, and work with me on the label side.
Mm-hmm. And that's half the battle. And you've really proven yourself garnering fame so quickly. Billboard top 20 hit, you know, that's when, you know, right? That was a real big one for you. And you've had so much since then, alongside of that with Kira Isabella. You went on for, what, 5 top 40 singles and performed on country's biggest stages.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot, you know, in a very short period of time. And I remember meeting you the first time backstage with Kira. Do you remember that?
That's right. I do.
You were so shy.
That was in Ontario, I think, on Old Dominion, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. I do remember.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that was just such a new thing performing on stage. And I think it was the James Barker Band that was playing later, right after. And you were just getting to know everybody, too. It was just such a fun time to be able to see how much growth there's been just in your songwriting, your performance, just, you know, you believe in yourself. And I think that's an amazing part to get to, point in your life and your career where you believe in everything you're putting out. And that's a pretty amazing feeling.
You know what? It's a little bit different now. I remember back in the day, and I always just really, really focused on charting numbers and this and that. And I'm at a point now where I'm just having fun again, and I'm just enjoying this process. Like, I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's like, I don't feel stressed about anything. Like I'm, you know, I'm down here in Nashville. I'm writing every day. I'm being creative. And I was hanging out with a fellow writer down here, Jimmy Thal. He writes most of the Tay Bay singles. And I was like, dude, you're just crushing it right now. And he said to me, he's just like, you know what? He's like, you know what, Buck? He's like, I just feel like I'm successful every day because I'm doing what I love. And it kind of like, I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, like we're surviving off music and getting through a pandemic, mm-hmm. still surviving off music. And it just kind of was a little bit, it was like eye opening for me in a way where I was like, yeah, you know what, man, you're right. You know, like we're still doing this thing. So it's pretty cool.
When you start living your dream and remembering what you did it for, and I think that's the key. And when you mm-hmm. remember why you loved music in the first place, you know, what influenced
totally.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It totally does. And yeah, and you forget about that sometimes because obviously, you know, it is a hard industry and you're going to hear the word no mm-hmm. 90% more times than you hear yeses. So, you know, it is hard for people to, you know, continue in this industry, but.
Well, you get a lot of pull, you know, too, right? You get a lot of pull back and forth. And like you mentioned mm-hmm. just a minute ago, when it comes to charting, you're paying attention to what's on the radio. What are they accepting right now? The demographics, everybody pays a lot of attention to. And if you're just playing for yourself mm-hmm. and playing from the feelings yeah. deep inside for you, it works every time.
Absolutely. I agree on that.
Absolutely. Now, what's the difference that you find now that you are in Nashville, made that big move? What do you think is in comparison to the music scene there and in Canada?
It's every day here. I still spend most of the year up in the Okanagan in Canada. When I'm down here, I have quotas to meet, so I'm working every day. I think the difference is it's like artists in Canada go to like the Canadian Country Music Week or Canadian Country Music Association Awards. Mm-hmm. And they're all there and they're all networking and they're all playing writers' rounds. I feel like that happens here every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're just surrounded around people that are like-minded and everyone's hustling, I think it kind of motivates you to hustle a little more. Like when I'm here, I wake up and I'm like, okay, what can I do today to better myself? As I find sometimes when I'm back home, I don't have that around me. So mm-hmm. like, I kind of get caught up in some other stuff. So it's like, I think I'm just more focused, but saying that I'd love to, I am trying to build like a community where I am in the Okanagan of writing rounds and bringing some of Nashville there to, I don't just bring, people don't get to see that, mm-hmm. see that where I'm from in Canada in general. So it's just cool bringing a little bit of life here to where I'm living up there as well.
It's amazing how I cover so many artists now out of Nashville. And we have so many Canadians that are moving there. Like so many of the top charters right now all live there and all making the mm-hmm. move, you know. So it's amazing. And it's so true that you are writing. You're motivated, but at the same time, you got a fire lit in your belly when you're in Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's why Canadians are doing really well down here. You look at all the success we're having as songwriters down here and getting U.S. cuts and stuff. And I think, you know, a lot of us come down here on visas or we have a limited time with our visa to get stuff done. And I think it just makes Canadians a lot more hungrier mm-hmm. than some of the Americans that can live here without having to have that restriction. They can get jobs and whatever, you know, as I feel like, I think the difference is when you are Canadian or in a different country, you have a limited amount of time to shine. So I think it almost makes you work a little bit harder in a way.
Absolutely. I totally agree mm-hmm. with you there. You know, you're making mm-hmm. the best out of the time that you've got and you're going to fill it. You know, you're going to, every
exactly.
nook and cranny, you're going to get done, right? You know, whether or not it's, you know, you're jamming or you're just, you know, the right arounds, it's just so, so important right now. In Australia too, like when you're seeing what's happened over COVID and we're seeing the doors that have opened up and Australia, I know we have so many listeners in Australia and the UK, and look at all the Canadians, you know, on trips that had to get canceled during COVID, you know, to go over to Australia. And it's just the music is just flurrying, you know, when it comes to Canadian music. And we got some major, major competition now with Canada, you know, and the rest of the world. So I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're definitely up in our game. And it's nice to see, like, it's nice to see even Canadian, like the two Tenniels, you know, having U.S. deals and doing well mm-hmm. in the American market down here and stuff. You know, you didn't see that a couple of years back, you know. It's just, so it's nice to have them kind of lead the way and be like, yeah, you know what, like, you can dream that big, you know.
Absolutely.
I don't think anyone's really done it that big and since like Shania. So, you know, there was a few years there where we didn't have.
Well, you got some great females out there too, like Michelle Wright, and you got there's so many. you know, that are out there.
Yeah, and I actually live in the back guest suite of Carolyn Dawn Johnson's place.
Awesome.
So I'm calling you from right now. She's another great Canadian girl that's done really well down here.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's my girl, I'm telling you. Between Michelle and Carolyn, I always interview them every year. And she always
That's
keeps
amazing.
Telling me that I have to keep sending her texts to motivate her, because when I get her on the show, I guess, like, I just love her stuff. Always have. She's an amazing writer.
She is. I don't think people realize how talented Carolyn is. Like, she even is producing her own stuff now. And it's like,
yep.
I'm just like, man, you are so talented.
She's putting all those hats on, and boy, she does it well. She's incredible. So we've got some pretty good talent out there. I've been interviewing a lot of people over the last 2 years, and everybody's taking the approach to what they've learned, the changes when it comes to reevaluating themselves, as well as the writing process, all of it.
Uh-huh.
What's been the biggest change for you that you've noticed musically?
Usually, like, I'll write quick to try to get songs out. I find, like, this downtime has allowed me to write tons, and it was a pretty cool experience. I think we narrowed it down to 60 songs to eventually choose six on this EP that's going to be coming out in the fall. And it was pretty cool. Like, I recorded the album with Jeremy Stover and Julian King, and Dan Swiminer as well. Worked on the album. So, Jeremy, for whoever's listening, you know, he works with Justin Moore and cuts all the Justin Moore stuff, and Julian's worked with Tim, and they just put this power band together down here for me. And it was the first time I cut a song down in the States, and then went back up to Canada and did all the vocals with Dan Swiminer in production up in Canada. And just, it was just such a cool experience. And it was a little bit different too, having like three producers on this, but I think it was like due to the pandemic and juggling things as well, like with everything going on. So it ended up being a pretty, like, a really cool project, and I'm like excited for everyone to see it. And another really cool thing I didn't even mention is when we cut the album, we actually cut it at Al Capone's old house here in Tennessee, which is like
really?
A castle. So
that's cool.
It's called the Castle Studios. You can Google it online. It's so cool, man. What an amazing experience. Like, something I'll never forget. It was,
it was just
crazy. Like, just seeing these guys do their thing, and just super inspiring. Yeah.
Well, you're around an awful lot of talent, and when you're dipping your toe into, like you said, those three different pools, you know, to make this music, you're getting so much input, so many talented people. Dan's incredible. He's been on fire. Just everything he touches, he's like so good too.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And another guy I didn't even mention is from Ontario, is Jay Dufour, who ended up mixing the album.
And yeah, he's
Jay,
so good.
Jay is great. I know he mixed, I think he mixes the James Barker and Jade Eagles and stuff. And
we've talked about him a lot
cool.
in the show. Mm-hmm.
Right on, yeah. And that was the first time I don't even think I've met him in person, just over the phone, but just great working with him. And I just, yeah, it's just, it was just a really great experience. And I think people will hear it in the music. I just kind of wanted to come back with a more mature kind of sounding stuff that's polished. And I feel like I did that. And
yes, you did.
To hear it.
Yes, you did. I am so excited about the new single. So, Can't Beat the View, killer song, my friend. Tell
Thank
us about
you.
Writing this one.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned earlier, it was a write that never was supposed to happen that day, and brought the song to Jeremy. We were listening, and he was just like, "Who'd you write this with?" I'm like, "Actually, like my good friends." And he's like, "We need to cut this song." And I was like, "Okay, so."
Give the guys a shout out. Give the guys a shout out to who you wrote this with.
Yeah, so it was Jimmy Thau, who I mentioned earlier, Dave Thompson, Dwayne, we call him, and my friend Jordan Orbeck.
Nice.
And all of them are like my really good friends down here, and are all having a lot of success down in Nashville as well, which is great to see. And kind of nice, when I was flying back down here, I, you know, was listening to the song, and I thought, how cool is that? The first song I haven't had out in 2 years where like my good friends all writing it with me. It was kind of, and I texted all of them. I was like, that's pretty neat. I didn't even think of that until
nice.
I was on the airplane the other day. So
now this song is just, it embodies everything you're going through right now in your life. So where did the idea come from? Was it from your personal life now? And
yeah, well, I think how it started is someone was looking out the window and said, man, that's a great view, or Can't Beat the View. And I was like, Can't Beat the View. I think I was joking, I was the one that was unsure about the title. I was like, how are we gonna do this? And then we just started talking about places we've been around the world, and I recently started seeing a new girl, and I was like, what if we bring the girl into this? What if she's like the ultimate view? You know, everything's great, but it's the girl, you know. So and it just kind of came together that way, and it ended, I guess, turning into a love song. So yeah, it's
kind of a different approach for you too, right?
Totally. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of the story behind it. And
well, you're gonna have to give her a shout out, because boy oh boy, you know, she inspired a great song there. Really great song.
I'll let her know.
I interviewed Dean Dillon yesterday.
And oh wow. Cool.
Yeah. So like when you go off titles in just different ways, like he's one of the best, you know, writers in the planet.
Documentary on Amazon Prime is amazing too.
That's right. But you know, when you talk about that 1% of top writers in the world, and he's been there for like 30 years, and he's one of the best at taking, you know, a view and putting it into a song, right? Taking those surroundings and just being able to be able to pull out those lyrics. They might be simple, but it says everything, like the melodies and, you know, the rhythm.
It's definitely a combination of things as well. And I just tell people, you know, the fact that I am doing it every day, it's kind of like if you're going to the gym and you're only going to the gym once a month, you're not going to be very good at the gym. But if you're like writing every day, it's like muscle memory almost in your brain, where it just becomes part of your daily routine. Because like sometimes I'll write with people and they're like, how do you think of that, you're so fast, blah blah blah, blah. It's like, well, because I'm doing it every day. Like if I go away for 2 months and I come back down to Nashville, which I've done many times, it usually takes me about a week just to get my brain back in that flow again.
I think
when people come down here to write with me, or I write with other artists that don't do it often, they might see it as like, well, you're very quick and skilled or whatever. I'm just like, it's just because I'm doing it every day, you know, like it's just a part of my routine.
Well, it makes a difference.
Exactly.
Definitely. So, understand. We're going to play the song right now. I just love this one. And it's such a catchy, catchy tune. We are talking about the relatable story behind your brand new single. And it's the story that so many of us can connect with. Every one of us can. Here it is, Can't Beat the View, by my very special guest, Chris Buck, here on Music's Journey.
I've seen the sunset dipping down over Sonoma. I watched the waves crashing into the cliffs on the ocean. I've been on a 747 way up in the clouds. Been Rocky Mountain high, had my feet on the ground. Yeah, baby, nothing comes close. And girl, if you don't know, you can't beat the view of you lying here, tangled in your long hair, swimming in these king-size sheets. Can't beat the feel of your touch, girl. Make my heart rush every time you put your hands on me. Like a California coastline, slipping off your clothes. I've never seen another sight quite like you. No, you can't beat the view. I've seen the midnight neon glowing off the northern lights. I've seen the stars shine dripping in the dark from a diamond sky. Yeah, I've been everywhere, everywhere under the sun. And baby, when the day is done, you can't beat the view of you lying here, tangled in your long hair, swimming in these king-size sheets. Can't beat the feel of your touch, girl. Make my heart rush every time you put your hands on me. Like a California coastline, slipping off your clothes. I've never seen another sight quite like you. No, you can't. Beat the view of you lying here, tangled in your long hair, swimming in these king-size sheets. Can't beat the feel of your touch, girl. Make my heart rush every time you put your hands on me. Like a California coastline, slipping off your clothes. I've never seen another sight quite like you. No, you can't beat the view.
That was the brand new single Can't Beat the View by Canadian country artist Chris Buck. And boy, is he ever finding his ground for 2022. Killer new song.
Why, thank you. I appreciate that. Hope everybody liked it. And yeah, it's nice to have a feel-good song out there.
Mm-hmm. We all need it. We're just itching, you know, for this year. I think more so than any, right? We just need that one. So you've been working so hard, writing like crazy for this solo album. You were saying you got 6 songs. Have you got them picked out already? Or you, how many have you been
writing? Yeah, they're done. They're recorded. They're just sitting here waiting to get heard. So, yeah, I'm excited with this batch. It's a totally little bit different sound, I think, for some other stuff. The album got some really cool, interesting stuff. I got like a song on there that's kind of a mix between Garth Brooks and Queen.
Wow.
I've got some like kind of Kenny Chesney stuff. I've got some like Dirks. It's kind of all over the place, but at the end of the day, I felt those were like the 6 strongest songs with the team. And I was like, you know what? Let's best songs win. So, I've shown a couple of my close friends and they put a big smile on their faces and they're like, man, this is so cool. And
oh,
I'm like,
nice.
So I'm excited for everyone to hear. I guess it's coming out in the fall. So yeah, I'm going to be excited to hear everyone's opinion on it.
Well, you got this one out right now. You got a brand new music video. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, Stefano Barbarison, he's done a lot of music videos in Canada. I guess he's done a lot for Dallas and I don't know. I think he's done for majority artists. So I've been trying to work with him for years and he heard the song and he wanted to do a video for it. And we went down and we shot it in a day. It was the biggest crew I think I've ever had at on a set before. And again, you know, it has been such a break. I just wanted to make sure I come back with just tighten the screws and have everything, I guess, just up my game on everything. And I feel this video is that, and I'm excited for everyone to see it.
Ooh, I'll definitely be putting that one up on the website too, so for Now and Then magazine, so I'll attach that. Now, you've been playing some pretty big stages here in Canada, the Calgary Stampede, Boots and Heart, and you are going right back out on the road and touring again.
Yeah, they're starting to roll in now. It's such a good feeling, and I hope I remember how to perform. I was saying to someone the other day, it's been so long, like I've done a lot of acoustic things online and you know, some writing rounds down here in Nashville, but getting in front of fans again is pretty darn exciting. And yeah, it's like it just feels like we're getting back to things again. And I was saying to someone the other day, I think fans are going to come back more excited than ever. Like I feel like that break, you know, I feel like venues and festivals are going to be busier than ever. I think people are hungry for live music again. It's been so long, and I'm just excited to see this summer and see everybody out at shows again.
Oh man, I cannot wait. It's going to be so nice.
But you know,
to be
I will say something I didn't mention to you earlier is like at the beginning of the pandemic, like Zoom rights or FaceTime rights or whatever people were using. Like a couple of years ago, it was rare when people would jump online to write with other artists on Zoom and FaceTime. And I think the pandemic changed things a lot there. Like even I'm down here doing a lot more Zoom rights and stuff now, and it's just technology, you know.
Well, people
really
are doing their vocals and they're doing, you know, different parts. Like you're getting people that are playing instruments and sending it in, and you know.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Like recording in different countries and sending it, just technology behind music's just it's crazy now. Like you could literally live in the middle of nowhere. If you got Wi-Fi, you can get work done.
That's right. That's right.
It's pretty crazy.
100%. Now, have you got some dates lined up that you want to let us know?
Yeah, they just announced that Rockin' River Fest, which is one of the big festivals out in
that's
in British
a
Columbia.
Huge. Yeah. I was looking at that today, and I just posted it too. And it's just like, boy, do they got a lineup?
Yeah, Tim McGraw, Darius Rucker, Chris Jansen, Hardy. Yeah, it's my little name there on the poster on the bottom. But you know, we're moving up. We're getting up there.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's a great billing, you know, to be on. That's huge. And it's such a big one out in BC.
And they're announcing a few others. I got a show and a bigger show with the Washboard Union in Kelowna. And
oh, nice.
I think there's another one they're announcing soon in Kamloops. And there's a bunch in BC and there's a couple in Alberta. But I'm definitely looking back to getting back east, and I won't say too much now, but I'm hoping it's going to be on a tour in the fall, but we'll wait to see if that comes through, and then I can see all my friends at some shows on the East Coast later this year.
Well, wouldn't it be great if I get to interview you live again? That would just be so amazing.
Looking forward to it.
For a nice change. Are you doing Boots this year, or Manitoulin, any of those?
Not this year. I did them right before the pandemic. So I think kind of the plan with my team this year was just to get some new music out and then start really building for next year for a lot of the other major festivals. Because, like I said, I haven't put anything out in a while. Just took my time on this new music and just excited to get everyone hearing it and get back on the road for an extremely busy next year for all the festivals I missed this year. I hope to be at next year. Yeah, everyone I know is just start seeing posters up again of festivals. It's got everyone's excitement levels up and like a kid on Christmas morning for me.
Me too. Me too. Now, you know, when we take a look back, you know, when you first started out, you were one of the fastest rising Canadian acts with the Billboard Top 20, and we said that too, and that's when you did That's When You Know, and that was featuring Kira Isabella. But then when you look back and how hard you worked, over 7 million streams, you've earned a Gold Certified Record, a CCMA Award for nomination for Video of the Year. You went on to release All In, that was in 2019, your second album, adding, man, total 5 top 40 singles and over 13 million streams. This has got to be so exciting. The solo career, this whole new avenue for you, and just being able to spread those wings, right?
Yeah, this is like a new adventure for me, but like it's at the same time, I don't know.
You're ready. I feel you are so ready.
I feel like it hasn't been overnight for me at all. Like I before I even put a song on the radio, I was playing, you know, country bars for 7 years, pretty much four or five nights a week. Mm-hmm. People never saw that. Like I think that's kind of where I learned to perform, I should say, because I was doing that every day. And then it wasn't until I started putting some music out after that it started getting a little bit of traction. And it's been, looking back on it, it's just I everything kind of happens for a reason. And I think at the time, sometimes you're like, oh, things aren't moving fast enough. And you know, I've been writing songs for close to 20 years, and I just signed my first publishing deal in the United States. So I was saying to someone the other day, I was like, if someone told me that 20 years ago, they're like, you're not going to sign any U.S. publishing deal for 20 years, I probably would have changed professions, to be honest. So it has been a long road, but you know, like you said, looking back on it, it's pretty cool just seeing the little steps along the way, and this is just another step right now. And as I mentioned before, I'm just really excited for this.
Well, the 7 years, I think Michelle Wright said it, you know, when I was interviewing her in December, that's what Nashville wanted. They wouldn't even touch her if she did not play, you know, 6 and 7 nights a week. And she had to have 6 years, you know, 5 years under the belt before they would even listen to her. And so that led the groundwork for you, right? So being able to appreciate playing to, you know, just a few people in the audience to a big stadium, you've got that under the belt, and you know you can appreciate, and you've got the hunger and the drive. And, you know, it just makes a huge difference to be able to do it this way, right? Really good.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's one thing you can't teach artists. They can look great, they can sing great, but if they don't know how to work a room, or they haven't
stage
put the time
performance
in on stage, it's something you just can't teach. It's something you just got to go do, and you got to keep doing it until you feel comfortable. Because I can tell many stories about me having moments on stage where things didn't go right and issues happen. And you know, early on in your career, you'd panic, you'd freak out, you'd forget words, you'd mess things up. As if you do it enough times, you're like, oh, just another mistake. Yeah, we'll deal with this. Let's keep going. Okay. Like, you just learn little things and little tricks and it's just, I guess it's experience at the end of the day. You just keep doing it.
Yeah. I guess when I'm interviewing a lot of the newer artists, I always say the same thing. It's the live performance. Like you can have a great song on the radio and, you know, kill it in the studio, put it out there and fans are loving it. But if you can't perform, that's where they remember you. It's when they come out to your show and you cannot work that stage, you can't perform, and then you lose the fans. But if you do a great job in your live performances, you got fans for life.
100%. It's so important. And I even noticed that on social media, like after events and festivals, seeing the numbers rise. Like, it's a good example over the pandemic. I haven't played any shows, and my numbers are the same they were 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. As, like, you know, when I was on the road playing, you know, sometimes I'm gaining, you know, a couple hundred to 1,000 new fans a night from playing a great show, and it's so important. And I always say, like, I want people leaving knowing when they see Chris Buck that they had fun and they remember the show, and that's super important to me. And because you want them to come back, you don't want them leaving saying, "Hey, that was so much fun. I can't wait to see him again." Oh. You know. So,
well, you're doing it. You're living the dream, and this is just an amazing new chapter. And I'm just so excited for you. And, you know, as a Canadian, so proud of you.
Thank you. Appreciate saying that.
Amazing, amazing job you're doing. Now, do you have time for a few questions?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to fire some of them at you here. When you look back at your career and what you've accomplished, that's why I was reading all those off, all those, you know, wonderful accomplishments that you've had in your career so far. What would you wish you knew back then to a younger Chris Buck to what you know now?
Oh, man. Geez, not to overanalyze and think everything and question things. I guess timing and patience is something that I think I would tell myself. Like, when the timing's right, things are going to be right. And, you know, things aren't going to happen overnight. You know, being patient is super hard. But in the meantime, you know, keep setting little goals to better yourself. That's what I'd say.
Nice. Okay. Would your advice change if somebody asked you that's just starting out now, what advice you would give them? What's the most important thing you would say?
I think what we were just kind of touching on is just get out there and play. Get out there and play shows.
Very cool.
That's it. You know, write music, get out there and play as much as you can.
Okay. Great advice. Favorite venue to play in Nashville so far?
There's so many good venues. I think the coolest moment for me was at the publishing house down here at Anthem, when we were like playing in our boardroom to like publishers for pitches for American artists. I think that was like the most humbling, scary experience ever. And that just always stands out, because I usually don't get nervous like that. But I remember my legs shaking so much, because it's just such a different dynamic when people are just sitting there in a setting like that, just staring at you. And you're like, oh, boy.
You'll never forget that moment either, right? It's like going into a cold, you know, it's just, there's nothing prepping you. There's no audience.
No.
Everybody's quiet,
especially
just staring.
When the publisher's like, "We love that song. Can you play it in 2 days for them?" And I'm like, "I wrote that a year ago, but okay, let's do this." Let's give her.
Nerve-wracking. Yeah. Nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Okay, greatest accomplishment so far for you, personally or musically?
I'd say the gold record. Like, that's pretty cool, especially as technically an indie, getting a gold record, having just organic fans buy your music and stream. It's pretty cool.
Nice. One thing you haven't done yet that you would love to do?
I haven't been on a major tour across Canada. A lot of people think I have, but I haven't. Like, I did that one song with Kira on the Old Dominion thing, but I actually haven't toured Canada. I think, like, with a major U.S. act, I think that would be cool. And also, starting to play some festivals down here would be cool. I think that's kind of something I'm looking at doing next year as well.
Mm. Is there an artist there in Nashville that you would love to bump into and just spend a couple hours with, just be able to talk music or anything?
Keith Urban, someone I've always wanted to meet. There's some family ties there. I actually never met him, which is strange, because
family
he was
ties?
Close to some of my... Well, I had a brother that I call my brother. I wasn't blood, but he passed away when he was a lot younger. And Keith Urban actually visited him at Sick Children's Hospital in Vancouver.
Right.
And he ended up giving his family backstage passes a couple times. And I was in Australia at the time, and I never actually got to meet him. So I think it would be really cool just to meet him one day and drop Tevin's name to him. And I know he would remember him and just say, like, like, what you did for him is kind of why I do music today. Would be kind of like the full circle. I think it would be cool to tell him that one day. Yeah.
Can you imagine sitting playing guitar around him, just learning from him? One of the best guitar players in the world. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's my favorite country artist.
Oh, wow. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, he's my favorite country. And he's the
Might
one...
Might have to FaceTime you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he sent a video when I got married.
Oh,
I got married.
Amazing.
And but I have not met him in person yet. He's one of the only artists that I haven't met.
Yeah, so. Almost for me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
No, cannot wait. I don't know if I'd freeze or I don't know what I too. You just never know, right? Okay, so favorite song of all time.
Man, I don't know if I could say that. I have like too many favorite songs. I'll just say one artist I listen to that I like a lot of his songs that people really don't know is Bob Seger.
Oh gosh, you're like, killing me here.
When I hear Night Moves, I'm just like, I'm in a good mood. Good mood now.
I learned guitar on that song. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Love him.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's one of the Silver Bullet Band. Boy, I'm telling you, when they come, he still can deliver. He can still deliver a great performance.
Yeah. So it's just there's just so many. I just can't narrow it down to one. It's too hard.
Very cool. I wasn't expecting that. See, I just feel so much more kinship. I'm telling you, just even more and more and more. Okay, so most meaningful song that you have ever written, and it could be released or not released, right? Something that maybe not may never see the light of day, or
I'll just be cliche and say that's when you know. And the reason I say that is just because of all the messages I've gotten from weddings from all over the world, how it impacted people. Was crazy. Like, I still get messages from people like in all over the world. We're like, your song was my wedding song. I'm like, really? How did you find my song? Found it online. Okay, cool. It's pretty special. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, to impact somebody's life like that, it just never gets old, right? You know, that's the reason why you do it.
Absolutely not.
Cool. Very cool. Favorite singer, songwriter, past or present, and why?
I don't know. I'll just say a couple of the artists. Like I mentioned, Bob Seger. I listened to a lot of Bob Marley growing up. I listened to Johnny Cash a lot growing up. Keith Urban. I guess those are kind of got me. Alan Jackson was a big one for me. Like, that got me into singing country music. I remember winning a karaoke contest back in the day, singing one of his songs.
What song was it?
I believe it was either Chattahoochee or Little Bitty. I can't remember. I think it was Chattahoochee. I people have asked me and I forget, but it was one of those two songs.
Oh, very cool. Very, very cool. We want to remind everybody, if you can download the single right now, it's really, really good tune. This one's going to be at the top of the playlist, and that is Can't Beat the View, and that's by my very special guest, Chris Buck. And you can get that on all your streaming platforms, and don't forget to share it on your playlist. It's really important because so many new people get to hear the music when they take a peek at your playlist, and they'll add it to theirs. So really great, and you also can request it at your country radio station, so don't forget that. So again, download Can't Beat the View by Chris Buck. Really great song. Thank you so much for spending some time. Tell everybody very quickly where they can reach you and all your live music, all the special news.
So all my social media is Chris Buck Band. You can find that on every platform, wherever you listen to music, wherever you go online. We'd love for you guys to follow me and see the journey. So yeah, it's just Chris Buck Band, and I'm there. Come let me know you heard me on here, and hope you enjoy the new song.
Oh, it's perfect. Thank you so much for coming by, and you're going to have to come back when you're getting ready for that EP. Are you sending, or are you guys releasing any other songs throughout the summer or before the EP?
I don't know.
Going to have to wait and see on Instagram, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm not too sure when the next one is. We're working on this one now. I honestly don't know. I'd love to be able to give a heads up, but I actually don't know myself. So.
Cool.
There will be another release this year for sure.
Well, I'm letting you know for Now and Then Magazine and for Music's Journey, you are the Spotlight Artist of the Week.
Oh, amazing.
So that's, I'm going to put that up for you. So yeah, we absolutely love the song and really happy for you. Okay.
Thank you. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll see you soon. Okay.
Sounds good. Have a great day. Thanks again.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist Chris Buck, for coming on the show. I have some great shows coming up for you. I got Brian Harwood, Smoke and Ashes, Jamie Warren, Jason Blaine, Annika, Mackenzie Lee Mayer, New Moon Junction, and so many more. I hope you can join me here next time on The Music's Journey Show. Don't forget, you can check out my podcast at musicsjourney.com for many more artist interviews that you don't want to miss. You also can check out the articles that I write on all the artists that you know and love, with all the latest music, videos, and reviews. You can check that out at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll see you here next time on Music's Journey.